greetings. This is James Gillen on As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. And we've got gonna have a great show tonight. I've got a few things I need to get out of the way first. We've got some announcements and some upcoming events this Wednesday, August 10th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We've got the teleconference healing series, and it continues with week two of meditations, recalibration, expansion, and contact. So it's a weekly gathering to provide support, healing, and community through the crazy times we're going through. And they can't get much crazier. I mean, we'll probably go into that tonight. The next Skywatch weekend is August 11th through the 14th. And we've had some amazing activity here in the skies over the ranch. So be sure to make your booking online and come up. Added bonuses, the Perseid meteor showers, and they're putting on quite a show for us. And the other night we saw the space station go over, and a lot of people got real excited until we told them it was the space station, but then we had another ship cross right in front of it. And I was out there one time, and we had two or three ships cross right over the space station and one following it. So they're not telling us everything, folks. You know, so it's pretty obvious. The upcoming workshops at East SETI on August 18th through the 21st, we have Shannon Leisner, and she'll be presenting the Theta Healing Certification Course. So if your higher self has been guiding you to step into your healing gifts, is an excellent opportunity to get started. At the end of this weekend, you'll be a certified Theta Healing Practitioner and be able to begin seeing clients. Labor Day weekend, September 2nd through the 4th, my guest tonight, Winston Shrout from Solutions in Commerce, returns to teach Removing Commercial Karma 2, Preparation for Life in the New Republic, and an Introduction to Commerce in the Fifth Dimension. That's going to be interesting. I don't think we're going to have money back then, so that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. And we've got early bird registration for this event. It ends August 18th, so all the details on our website. And remember, I'll be a part of the ET Disclosure webinar taking place online August 18th through the 21st. And again, see our website for the link. And if you want any more information about any of these events, we've got the Journey into Sound and Vibration Retreat and Laura Eisenhower's Be the Shift Retreat, go to privateinvitationeseti.com. Again, that's privateinvitationeseti.com. If you have any questions, you can email eseti2016@gmail.com. Again, that's eseti2016@gmail.com. And what's amazing about these conferences and gatherings here is that not only do you get to meet some awesome people and get some incredible knowledge they have to share, you know, we go out in the evening and you get to see the ships and whatever else happens. There are all kinds of paranormal activity here too. And actually, I just fixed the infrared spotlight so we can see the orbs and all the other things, you know, appearing out the field. It lights up the fourth dimension. So we have the night vision goggles and everything else to go along with that. So it's, you know, if you really want to expand your mind and open up your horizons, this is a place to do it, because, you know, this eSETI is where the debunkers come to die. You know, so it's pretty interesting. But again, you know, if you have any questions, go to eSETI2016@gmail.com. And if you want to know about the gatherings here, go to privateinvitationeseti.com. And enough for the announcements. So I've got an amazing guest. We've got Winston Shrout. He's been a regular on our show, and he's from Solutions in Commerce. And he's got some amazing information. And I don't want to spend a lot of time going in. A lot of you already know Winston, so I want to bring him on the show. So, Winston, are you with us?
Here. How's the sound?
You sound great.
Well, cool. I'm in low orbit around the Earth, planet Earth, and I'm dropping water bombs.
Great. Hope they're the global reset bombs, you know.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah, there's so many ways we can take off on this. I don't know which way you want to go or what's important to you, but I know you know, people everywhere are really curious about, you know, the New Republic, how that's going, the financial situation, you know, where that's going, and some of the changes on the planet. So wherever you want to take us, you've got the mic.
Okay. Well, let me comment on some of that. There's been a lot said. There's been a lot of impatient people, I might add.
Yeah.
Our culture is to take a pill to make everything well, but that's not that easy. And I'll discuss a little bit of that in a moment. What I'd like to start off with is more of the moral aspect of what we're involved in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because in essence, here in America, or Turtle Island, as it's called, the people who are here are involved in something I would call a second chance. And what I mean by that is that we're being given a new opportunity to establish a republic. Now, if you were to ask me, is a republic the best form of government, I would say no, but it's certainly better than what we had. And let me express it in this way, and this is something for people to consider, because we have been involved, certainly during all of my lifetime, and certainly coming up here to the last number of years, we have been involved in a serious fascist state. And most of the people assume that that's how a republic is run, and it absolutely is not. Now, fascism is basically defined as rule by corporations. And we've gone with our, in the past, with our seminars and lectures and so forth, we've outlined this business about corporations and how this corporate thought process has been used to enslave the American people. Now, so the problem is that most of the population have been trained and lived in a fascist state, and in consequence of that, they think that perhaps that's the way things should be. But if we're going to go into a true republic type of government, that does not include fascism. But now here's the next problem. And that has to do with government itself. I mean, our country is so big. There are so many people living in this country. I think it's well over 300 million.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that to administer any kind of form of government, it takes a huge administration. And so when you talk about, you know, the leaders we talk about, you know, like the president and the vice president and the secretary of state and all those entities, you have to realize that's just a handful of people. But the real government is actually run by the administration. Now, the present administration have been trained and have been operating a fascist-style government. Now, so if we just get rid of the president and get a new president here, we get rid of the old secretary, you know, the old attorney general, all that kind of stuff, and bring in new people, that's fine. What does it change? Well, it doesn't change a whole lot yet because it's the administration that will have to be dealt with. And so people say, well, you know, when are we going to get the new president? When are we going to get the new money? When are we going to get this and that? Well, whenever that happens, that's one thing. The next thing is when will we have the administration that will actually administer a republic form of government, and that is going to take some time.
Yeah.
The people who are in those are professionals. For instance, you know, we have elected officials that change every 4 years or every 2 years or 6 years or whatever. That's mm-hmm. one thing. But it's the administrators of that government that are there 20, 30 years. Okay, now we got a new situation going on here. So let's say, for instance, coming up in November, we elect a new president. We got our hopes hanging on the new republic and the changes and all those kind of things. Folks, it will not happen overnight. It's going to take a good long while. to get things set in order properly. And so people should not be discouraged just because we have a new president or whatever. People should not be discouraged because it's going to take a while to get the thing straightened out so that the government itself is functioning as a republic. See? And so, again, we can't just take a pill and make everything right. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not like turning on a light switch and having the lights come on. It's going to take a great deal of effort. It's going to take a great deal of support by the people to see that these things are carried through. Because we don't want to go back to where we came from. We want to go forward. And so when we talk about going forward, there's a great deal of work that has to be done. For instance, I think the statistic is that about 50% of the available workforce is working in some branch of government, either federal, state, local, county, and so forth. 50% of the people have been administering a fascist-style government. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I think you can see the complications that we're facing right here. So the question gets to be, even with the retraining, new instructions, and so forth and so on, how long will it take until it is functioning properly? And I don't know how long that will take, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, or whatever. But it has to start. It is started. And so in consequence of that, we would hope that it would move along very rapidly, certainly as we're able to remove the mind control that have basically run the government. Now, some of your, certainly your audience, James, would know about these things and could work on those things, perhaps with, you know, directed meditations and all those kinds of things. But folks, you know, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. This thing is not going backwards. I think maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I was concerned over some of these matters, and I had gotten a message from Saint Germain himself. And the message was this: this will not go backwards. Any of those who stand in the way will be removed. And folks, there's a lot of people who are MIA, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, we could talk about, I don't know how much you want to get into that, but I know.
Actually, I don't.
Yeah, well, I can get into it a little bit. But
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, from the information that I've gotten is that, and, you know, again, take this with a grain of salt. I don't, you know, there's so much information out, but through some of the best intel I can get that, you know, it's, they tried to negotiate over and over with this, you know, elite, you know, the cabal and things like that. And they thought they were making headway, and the cabal just kept getting names and find out who was who. And then they just kept coming in and hitting them over and over again. And so finally they took off the gloves and they said, we're not going to negotiate anymore. And I guess they put like a ton of gold out on quite a few names, you know, a bounty on them. Oh, and yeah, those bounties are being collected. So that's the information I've got. Whether that's true or not, you know, you can decide for yourself. But I think we need to start watching the news. And, you know, they can fake. They have this, and I put it out on my newsletter. They have technology now where they can put this program on, and you can stand there with a camera on you and talk. And the image that's going to be projected would be like Bush Jr. or something else. That's one they used. And you could not tell the difference between this other guy who's running that program and Bush Jr. They had all the inflections, you know, the way he talks and everything and the movements. And this guy, and you know, and the camera's on him, but it's showing a picture of Bush as alive, you know, being live.
That's
so
true.
It's, yeah. And so watching that, you just go, well, you know, what is true anymore? I mean, they can fake anything. You know, there's people that could have been dead a long time ago, and they could still show them, you know, speaking at conferences or rallies or whatever else, and unless you were really there and knew somebody, you know, they could even use a hologram at the conference too. So it's, we have that technology now, and a lot of people are going, oh, that's conspiracy, and I go, no, this is real. We have that technology. It works. You can't tell the difference. And they've actually showed it. You know, they've showed people doing newscasts and things like that that weren't even there. And
oh, yeah.
You couldn't tell the difference. So, you know, don't be disheartened when you might see something where they're trying to prop up, you know, the world as you know it and keep the status quo going, because it's changing, and it's changing fast. And I just think we just can't believe what we're seeing, you know, on the news. I think we just need to throw our TV sets out and maybe scan. Even the internet's got a lot of nonsense out there too as well. So it's, I guess, bottom line, everybody has to develop their own inner sensitivity and just see what feels right for you.
I think that's the right approach. I have seen that for a number of years. I don't know, it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, there was a prominent figure in government that we know had been assassinated, his body cremated, and then the next week he was on the news.
Yeah.
He was on the stand with George Jr., and we thought, well, what the heck's going on here? But anyway, yeah, they have that technology. But the key to it certainly is for the New Republic to put the mass media under their control instead of letting it be controlled by some of these cabal types, which are very quickly diminishing in number, very mm-hmm. quickly. So, those, you know, I'll have to say on that bounty you were talking about, quite a bit of that's been collected already.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
On to better things.
Yeah.
And that has to do with, you know, when we start talking about rising in vibrations and frequencies and doing all those kind of things on an individual, on a community, or on a national level, we're talking about becoming a more moral people. And, you know, there are good guidelines that have been given to us by many of the illuminated individuals for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And so as we contemplate moving into a new era, a new government, a new republic, or whatever you want to call the thing, the key to the success of that has to do with the moral level of the people in the country. Because if the government all of a sudden becomes moral and the people are immoral, what do you have? Or if you have the people who are moral and the government's immoral, what do you have, you see?
Yeah,
and
what
so
we
I
got
think
now.
Really the main concern that listeners, you know, should be thinking about is how do I individually and how do I as a community and how do we as a nation and so forth raise our moral level so that this time, this second chance we have mm-hmm. will be successful, because even though you have a new republic and all the figures and elected officials and all that kind of stuff, does that guarantee success? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. And so the real key to it is for the success of this new thing we're fixing to do here, is the key to success is raising the moral and spiritual level of all the people in government and out of government. So I think, you know, folks really need to take a real close look at that. Now, if you go back historically, and there's much evidence of this, and I've spoken of this many times in seminars and interviews and so forth, even though way back when, back in the 1700s, it was reported that we had a republic form of government that was a scam. We have never had a republic in this country. And there's much evidence of that. If I had 2 or 3 hours, I'll explain the mm-hmm. whole thing. But we have never had a republic. So this is technically not a new republic. It's simply a republic because we've never had that. Yeah, so we need to take a look at that. And again, you know, if you did take political science when you were in school and so forth, throw it out the window. just throw a plum out the window, because what they were teaching you in political science was absolutely incorrect. And it had directed you to the consequences that we have suffered with, you know, here for the last 50, 60, and 70 years. So, you know, people have to learn, you know, good principles of government and put those things into effect. And then, you know, if you're not in government, if you have people in your community, if you have senators and so forth that'll be elected here coming up, encourage them. You know, talk to them, write them letters, explain to them what you desire, and your desire should be toward good government, peace and tranquility, prosperity in the nation, and all these kinds of things. Because if you don't express yourself, then they won't know. And this new republic or this second chance we have here could fail. It could fail. There's no guarantees. And so it has to be with the participation of the people in the country to make a success of it. So I think that's pretty much, you know, the message, you know, first message at least, that I would like to contemplate when we consider what's in front of us, because it makes no, it's a wasted effort to reform a government and then do the same lousy, no good for nothing things that we did before. And so we have to keep a close eye on that. And so it's the responsibility of the people to see to it. So I think that's pretty much the main message. And then if you want to talk about some of the ramifications of what's going on and so forth, I can perhaps elucidate Great. On some of those things. Yeah.
You know, one thing I feel good about, you know, the unfortunately, the golden rule is he who owns the gold makes the rules, you know. And yeah. The good news is the guys that own the gold are on the good side, you know, that are actually making this shift. You know, they're some very enlightened beings. So that's good news on that line. And I also know there's forces behind this shift that we aren't frequency specific to where the earth is evolving to and where this civilization needs to go, we're not going to be here. And you know, and it's not, and they asked me to explain this to people because, you know, the source, whatever you want to call it, spirit, God, creator, heals. It doesn't punish, it heals. But the problem was that is when you send healing energy, that could be the punishment in itself, because everything that doesn't match that frequency that can't rise to the occasion pretty much goes through some suffering or some loss or whatever, and they have to make this shift. And so these times the earth is chosen to ascend to the next level, and the forces behind this process that are supporting her are beyond imagination. So I just don't see how this is going to stop or be stopped in any way whatsoever. But how we participate in that, that's where we have a choice and a free will, and we can do it, you know, the hard way or the easy way. And what I'm seeing is a lot of people are choosing the hard way, and they're, it's at their own hand that they're having problems.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of people don't know. Let me just express it this way. We had, you know, some thousands of years ago, we had a people in a place called Lemuria. Mm-hmm. And those people had certain problems and whatnot. But in any event, what we call the Oriental people are descendants, you know, from those that were in that continent and in that civilization. Now, a lot of people don't know that the Chinese were heavy investors in the formulation of the United States of America. They had major input in the earliest of times. So they've always had a vested interest, can I say that word, a vested interest in the success of the American experiment. And at this particular time right now, over 200 years later, they also still have and are making a huge investment in the success of this republic. And I could go into some of the details on that if you want me to.
Yeah, well, we know the you know, you got all the red dragon, the white dragon, and the gold dragon, which is pretty much the top of the food chain. And they all seem to be working together to bring this about. Now, with the white dragon society, they would actually be more kind of white hats in America, or am I wrong in that?
Well, first off, people should understand what the dragon families are. Mm-hmm. They are the ancient royal families, and I think the number of those families would be somewhere around 160. And they have associated in certain groups that they call, you know, White Dragon Society, you know, the blues and the reds and the greens and all kinds of things. Now, the White Dragon Society itself is not made up strictly of Oriental or Chinese people. As a matter of fact, a good part of the White Dragon Society lives right here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so the White Dragons are not to be confused with, for instance, the Chinese elders, because mm-hmm. they're altogether different. But all these groups, apparently, at least for the information I have and the associations I've made, do have their sights set on a successful government and here in the United States of America, if for no other reason, to protect their investments, and they have huge investments here. So, you know, we should look at those things from that respect. And, let me give you some for instances that might be helpful.
Okay.
This concept of a interim military government, emphasis on interim, and that is since the Civil War, the whole of the United States has been under military occupation. The final word is always the military, and it is, even with our elected officials and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that all over the country. It's the military. If you don't believe me, just go and ask anybody high enough in the Army to know it. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you that. And so anyway, they're sort of like guardians, or to see to it that we do have good government. And then certainly after the Vietnam conflict, they got a little bit concerned. Many of the high military officials got very concerned about what was happening to the country and so forth. And so they started to formulate plans. And so in any event, at one point, they had formed a complete interim republic. And that was stationed, as I understood it, in West Virginia, some say Virginia. But anyway, wasn't too far from the capital. So in any event, in January of 2015, they started to function. So they came on the scene and started to operate because, see, here's the thing. What's called the federal government was actually the United States Incorporated, which was a maritime corporation registered in Puerto Rico, for crying out loud. And so they were running the government after 1999. And that's what turned the whole thing into severe fascism. So in any event, with all those things happening, then this interim by the military was conceived of, and then in January of 2015, they went to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that they did not have was they did not have any gold. If you look at the international banking accords, there's something known as Basel III, which dictates that for a nation to have a currency that could be traded and used internationally, it would have to be substance-backed, in particular gold, because that's just the norm. So anyway, the new military interim did not have any gold. And so who comes to the rescue? The Chinese elders. They gave them the equivalent of $100 billion in gold so that they could produce a viable currency. And that was, I think, in April of 2015. And from that, they created, or was created, what is known as Treasury Reserve Notes. Now, Treasury Reserve Notes are government-level money. And those Treasury Reserve Notes started to trade on the international markets in the summer of 2015 and are trading right now. So we know it's a viable currency because it is trading across the planet. If it were not viable, no one would invest in it. Okay, so now we got the government level, what's known as Treasury Reserve Notes. But that's not the money on the street. The money on the street is called United States notes. And so that's the money that we'll use in the public sector, in commerce, business, and all these kinds of things. Now, all of these currencies are tied to the Chinese yuan. The Chinese yuan has replaced the Federal Reserve notes as the reserve currency. So all of these new currencies, in particular the Treasury Reserve Note, the United States Notes, are tied directly to the current reserve currency, which is, in fact, the Chinese yuan. Now, so we were expecting, I mean, we were following events, me and some of my friends, some of them local, some of them international and whatnot, and we had thought that they would, in fact, introduce the new United States notes in October of 2015. It didn't happen. There were too many roadblocks. I mean, just as soon as they got ready to do something, some false flag would happen, or somebody would get in the way of it, you know. And, and they had agreements across the planet with the different ones that they would stand out of the way and let this thing go forward. Then they would renege on their promises, and so here we're back to the drawing board again. And so we've had a continual opposition from some of those who should have known better and should have gotten out of the way because, as James mentioned at the start of the program, there are bounties out on many of those individuals who have caused the blockages, and those bounties are being collected on, which gives you the idea that somebody's been eliminated. And so this is an ongoing process. For instance, the introduction of what people call the RV, the currency redemption that some of you know about, it has been announced that it's going to go forward on a certain date, and get to that certain date, nothing happens. The only thing that happens is another false flag comes up, the Orlando thing, the Dallas thing. And we had a real scare for a while there about 2 weeks ago. An attempt to set off a thermonuclear device in New York City was thwarted. I mean, that's how close we came. Yeah. Well, I don't think it ever would have happened. I don't think the Pleiadians would have allowed it to happen. But in any event, we have all these oppositions. We have all these false flags. And so every time we take two steps forward, it seems like we take three steps back. But those blockages are, in fact, being eliminated even as we speak. Now, let's talk about the United States notes in comparison to the Federal Reserve notes. The Federal Reserve notes were issued by the Federal Reserve Bank and bought by the United States government, and those notes were interest-bearing. Now, first off, let me explain this, and people don't know this. What's called a Federal Reserve note is not a note. Even though it says on there, Federal Reserve note, if you understand negotiable instrument law at all, you immediately see that's not a note. What is that? That's a perpetual annuity bond. Just look at the thing and you see that. And so the Federal Reserve notes were never notes. A note is a discharge item. And those bonds were not discharge items at all, even though we use them in our common interactions and so forth. All right, now these new United States notes are being issued by the new United States Treasury, which is not a central bank, it's the National Treasury. Mm-hmm. And those notes are being issued without interest. And so we get to use them, and we're not going to have any interest associated with them. because it was the interest that was owed on the use of the Federal Reserve notes that that caused what people call the national debt. Now, first off, it was never a national debt. It was a federal debt. And the only reason that people became liable was because their status was as U.S. citizens. Now, we have a way to correct that problem, as we demonstrated in our last seminar up here, and several times, you know, I've shown this. But at this point here, with the new United States notes, they will be true notes, which are discharge items. And so those will be in use. There will be no more national / federal debt, you know, that will be accrued as a result of the use of that those notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now the transfer over from, for instance, if you're holding Federal Reserve notes, if you have bank accounts, savings accounts, whatever you have. Right now, the word that I get is that the Federal Reserve notes will be redeemed at par. In other words, if you have a $1 Federal Reserve note and you exchange it, you'll get a $1 U.S. note. I don't know if there's any penalty on that, at least domestically. Now, I'm talking about within the United States, domestically. Mm-hmm. The Federal Reserve notes that are floating around the planet will be discounted. I'm not sure how big the discount is going to be, but it's going to be huge. And so, you know, if you're holding Federal Reserve notes in foreign banks and whatnot, you might want to think about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not a financial planner, so I'm not telling you what to do with your money. But yeah. In any event, domestically, it appears that the transition from Federal Reserve notes to United States notes will be at par. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions about that?
No. One thing I noticed that, you know, everybody was printing Federal Reserve notes. I mean, the agencies, other countries, everybody. And so, I mean, there's no backing. They're just basically creating toilet paper out there. So they definitely have to do something with that. And I imagine that would be how they would handle that and switch those out, which would be, you know, it would create more of a peaceful revolution than all of a sudden crashing the system and saying, hey, your dollar's not worth anything anymore and your account's gone. That wouldn't go too far with the American people.
Yeah. You know, actually, most of the foreign countries, the foreign exchanges, you know, if you travel internationally and so forth and you take a Federal Reserve note with you and try to exchange them in the country where you get there, they'll take a close look at them.
Yeah,
in a lot of cases, they wouldn't accept any $100 bill that was printed after 2009. Mm. In 2012, I actually went to Jakarta, and I had some Federal Reserve notes I wanted to exchange at the airport. And so when I tried to exchange that, you know, the guy there, he took a close look at them. And some of them he would exchange, and some of them he wouldn't.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And so they're pretty savvy. They're pretty savvy in some of these places about what they'll take. And so
yeah,
you're right.
Japan was that way, too. I know in Japan they were really checking the –
yeah.
Whenever I tried to cash in, you know, 100, they were really checking it over.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right because they knew that some of that stuff was phony. Because, as I recall, the CIA was printing them. The DOJ was printing them. Iran was printing them out to the kazoo.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all over the place.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, domestically speaking,
for
the people here in the country, I believe that they'll get a fair shake on that deal, and they'll just redeem the Federal Reserve notes at par.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people can be rest assured of that. They're not going to get taken to the cleaners or nothing like that, because we are moving toward a prosperity in this country. And there are measures being taken at this moment to ensure that there will be prosperity here. A lot of people don't understand what they call the RV or the revaluation of currency, and perhaps if you want me to, I'll comment on that here for a few minutes.
Yeah, that would be great. I think one thing, too, I just want to say beforehand is that we talked earlier about that, about the manufactured lack and how we have just a huge amount of resources that go out of country to, you know, to the Pope and to the Queen and things like that. And this is going to change all that. So, we are going to move into an extremely prosperous society, you know, once this comes out. And some of the people are really afraid of, they go, well, what, you know, if we all are given a big break and have all this money, then money's going to be worthless. That's one of the things I keep hearing people say.
Not true. Not true at all. Let me go over the RV for a moment so that people understand that concept, because most people just hear about the currency revaluation, but there are other things as well. The main thrust, or one of the main thrusts of the RV, which again occurred in Reno, Nevada. I mean, they were at it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years trying to get this whole thing figured out. And they run into certain problems along the way. But in any event, one of the major thrusts of the RV was to break the control of the Middle Eastern oil away from the oil cabals, in particular the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, and the Bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, did it do it? And the answer is, yes, it did. Now, that was very important. As proof of it, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, we were paying $4 a gallon for gasoline at the pump, and now it's, what, you know, $2.50 or something.
Yeah.
And so that's evident that they broke the back of the cabals, and they got gasoline and petroleum back into the range that it should be, instead of people getting ripped off, you know, from all the activities of the cabal. So that was a major feature of the revaluation. Now let's go into the currencies so people understand what was going on. And that was, the problem was the central banks. And that was something that Keith Scott and I had worked on, you know, those stories about what we did with the Federal Reserve and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember those.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, the problem across the planet was that each country's currency was being controlled and manipulated by the central banks. In other words, the central banks would value the currency high, then they, you know, then they value it low, and in essence, they were stealing the energy, the value from the countries, and that had to stop. All right. So one of the purposes of the RV, whether the central banks still exist or not, is to value a country's currency based on certain parameters. One of the parameters was, for instance, gross national product. One of the other parameters was natural resources that they might have, and the availability of those kinds of things. And so the value of a particular country's currency was rated according to those parameters. And so those things can't be manipulated by the central banks. Now, this is a very important thing, very, very important thing, because we have had the problem with what's called third world countries, which are basically have been ripped off since World War II. Now, I don't have time to go into the whole history of that, but that problem should have been corrected after World War II, with the trading programs, the heritage funds, and all those things that, you know, that went into that. But they weren't. They weren't, not at all. And so some of these third world countries in Asia, Africa, Central, South America, so forth and so on, were simply being ripped off by the United States, United Kingdom, France, and the other European countries. That had to come to an end. And so with this revaluation of the currency then, you know, when that comes, and the whole world is doing it all at once. And so the rate of the value of a nation's currency is along the lines of those parameters. Now, for instance, the third world countries, where all the big corporations have moved because they get cheap labor. Ha ha on them, that's coming to an end. Because, you know, whereas, for instance, an Indonesian man might work all day long, for $1.50 and for $1.50 a day or whatever, that's going to come to an end. But the net effect of that will also be the return of industry and manufacturing back to the United States. For instance, if somebody in Indonesia is working for $1.50 a day producing name brand tennis shoes, for instance,
yeah.
And so the manufacturer of that set of whatever's, I shouldn't say brand names, but y'all know what I'm talking about. If the manufacturer got that pair of tennis shoes, let's say for $2 or $3, and they come over, bring them over here to the United States and sell them for $150 a pair, what's up with that? But
yeah.
if the laborer in Indonesia is paid a fair wage, then all of a sudden that pair of tennis shoes is not going to be given to the manufacturer for $2 or $3. You see what I mean? And
yeah.
So then at that point, natural business, then a lot of those things would be removed back to the United States. And so we'll once again start up much more manufacturing and stuff like that. I mean, years ago when I was still in the workforce, I was working as a welder, and we were getting a lot of Korean steel, and that stuff was terrible. I mean, you'd be welding along, and all of a sudden it'd blow out on you for no particular reason. Hmm. And so that was being manufactured by inexperienced manufacturers and so forth. And so we just had innumerable problems with those kind of things, because in order to do construction, the steel had to come up to a certain grade, and we weren't getting it. And so all the steel plants in the United States have been shut down because all the work was going overseas. And we were suffering with it because we couldn't put out a good product with what we were getting. And so we'll see the return of many of these things back to the United States, and hopefully quality control will be a little bit better. I'll put it that way. Now you can translate that into the pharmaceutical market, crying out loud.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the pharmaceuticals that many people are dependent on, they're paying exorbitant rates for something that costs 10 cents in a third world country. People here in the States are paying $6 or $8 for the same pill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's foolishness. That's foolishness.
Yeah,
now, so
it doesn't
when
work.
This revaluation gets in swing, then we'll start to see things square up a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad, and most of that stuff doesn't work. I'm really hoping, who knows where this is going to go, but I did hear Trump say a few things that he was going to, first thing he was going to do was basically arrest the head of the FDA and the EPA and everything else for selling out, and I'm going, well, that's a good start, let's start cleaning out these agencies that are doing exactly the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. But I guess under the Republic, that would be, they wouldn't have the luxury of hiding behind the court system that we have today, because that would go through a complete change.
Correct. Yeah, actually, the justice system is being worked on by Lady Portia.
Mm-hmm.
She's the twin flame of Saint Germain, and so she has that responsibility, and so she's been working on that. And we've been working on, as boots on the ground, too. And I could tell some interesting stories, but I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, funny, after you told me that, I was meditating. And this woman, beautiful woman, blonde hair. She had short blonde hair, though. Her hair was kind of short. But she was wearing a really interesting headdress, with gems and things in it. And
yeah.
And in the when I was meditating, she just appeared to me, and she had a briefcase in her hand, and a table. And she kind of threw the briefcase down on the table and kind of told me she's working on it, So, and I'm not sure it's Lady Portia. I don't know who it is, but there is somebody on a very high level that is, working on turning this system around. I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, and again, it's the same problem. You have the heads, and then you have the administrators of that system, which will have to be corrected. I've known for a couple of years anyway that many of the top judges and so forth have been in sequester so they could be retrained. And then how long does that get down to the, I mean, how long will it take to get that down to the local traffic judge? I mean, I don't know, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming along. It'll take just a little while to get things sorted out, but it's coming.
Yeah, it's well overdue, you know, definitely well overdue.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, you know, to me too, that what gives me hope is knowing how frequencies work and how these old system, this old draconian program we've been under is falling apart, and that the whole grid that supports it is falling apart. And so it's just a matter of time. It's not sustainable.
Exactly.
And something new is going to be taking its place. You know, it's either going to happen the hard way, or it's going to happen, you know, hopefully seamlessly, or you know, without all the other stuff, but it's going to happen one way or the other. So it'll be interesting to see how it does work itself out.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased. I'm quite happy. I'm actually giddy many times over what I see. And, you know, again, to the folks, you know, it's not like turning on the light switch. It's not going to change just because you flip that switch. It's going to take the effort of all of us to make this thing a success. We can't depend on the Ascended Master to come and do it all for us.
Exactly.
Now, the things that we can't do as individuals and so forth, they will help with. But it's up to us. It's up to us, the people, to accomplish this. And it's part of our soul progression to do these things. And so,
I agree.
Many people came on the
planet. The old saying, God helps those who help themselves, you know. And so, aren't moving forward and doing our part, you know, it might be pretty rocky road. But you know, we have to make those choices and start moving in that direction.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we are moving in that direction. I mean, you know, I've been lecturing at Solutions in Commerce now since 2004, and I do see the changes. I see the changes in the people, and the people are becoming educated. The people are stepping forward in self-empowerment. So people go into the courts. The people go and deal with the different officials and all those kind of things. And they get, you know, it's because of the effort of so many people that we have infused the energy into the situation that causes the change. And so everybody needs to give themselves a little bit of a pat on the back.
Yeah, definitely. You know, on that note, we're hitting the end of the hour. So I know you've got the workshop coming up here really soon. And I guess it's Labor Day weekend, the 2nd through the 4th.
Uh-huh.
What else do you have going on, and what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Well, if you just go to the website, which is WSSIC.com, which stands for Winston Shrout Solutions and Commerce, if you go to our website, you can see the products, you know, that we have recorded over the years. Some of them are recordings of full seminars. Some of them are recordings of single topics. And those seem to have a lot of good effect. And then we also have a YouTube section on our website where you can go and listen to a lot of the interviews and, you know, things to kind of get a flavor. For those who are kind of new to the thought process and new to the technology and so forth, this Labor Day weekend when we do the seminar at eCity on Friday afternoon, we'll have a 3-hour session for those who might be new to some of the thought processes. But, you know, before we launch into the full-blown seminar on Saturday and Sunday. So if you're kind of new, or if you just want to get a good review of some of the basic concepts of commercial redemption, then be there early, you know, so you can attend the Friday afternoon session. But listen, the one we had last year, that was so great, man. We produced so much energy at that seminar that we shot way into space. I mean, I think Source even got a little taste of it.
Yeah, we definitely did. Well, anyway, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing all this wonderful information, all this good news with us. And I'm sure we'll have you again on soon, and looking forward to your workshop.
Oh, yeah, great.
All right. Looks like we're out of time right now. We've got to sign off. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. Have a great evening. Watch the skies and stay in the heart. You know, that's where you got to govern yourself from here on out. Anyway, have a great night.